T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
You're listening to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show, episode 17. Hey there, Kate Hartley here, and welcome to another episode of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. My guests all have one thing in common, and that is the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you also hear what's working and not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges using their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. Before I get into the details of my transformational guest today, remember that you'll be able to listen to the replay of this interview via my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk, and also on my website, which is flourishtherapy.co.uk, and you'll find a tab on the main menu bar for the radio show. So just click that and you'll be able to go through all the recent and past episodes. So back to today's episode. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Virpi Kalevo, and she coaches high-achieving business people in corporations and as business owners on mental well-being, her approach being based on understanding how the mind operates. Virpi was a stressed overachiever, and I think most of us have been in that place. Through her own personal transformation, she now lives with a deeper inner peace, and she says that once you know how the mind works, you can start to understand and overcome challenges in life. She says that often we are too scared to try out new things, or we criticise and judge our own ideas, and that it's just our own thinking which is limiting us, although there are actually unlimited possibilities. So I'm so looking forward to introducing Virpi to you. So without further ado, Virpi, welcome to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. How are you today?
Well, hello, Kate. Thank you very much for the introduction, and I'm so pleased to be here. And yes, I'm very fine, thank you. Today was a good day, a very, you know, flowing day and full of ideas. So I like those kind of days.
Good. You can share some of your positive energy and your flow in the zone to us as we go yes. through this interview. So to get us started, Virpi, I wonder if you'd share with us what got you started with where you're at now and kind of what's your big why in life?
Well, yes, that's not a short story. I'm glad we have an hour.
Go for it.
So, yeah, I think it actually all started well. The latest phase started around 5 years ago. I had a very long career in HR, corporate HR, and I loved my job, and I traveled a lot. I had a global role, and certain things had happened in my life, and I had started to question that, can it be this for the rest of my life? Is this hamster wheel life what I really want to live? And kind of there was this knowing inside that there has to be more, and I had searched already for some answers in life. I mean, what happens after death, and why are we here, and why do humans behave like they do, and you know, all this kind of thinking around humanity and life in general. And what happened then was that actually I was a very stressed person. I experienced a lot of stress at work, and it was not so much around the workload, actually. We all have our reasons why we feel stressed at times, and the reasons may vary. But it started to become kind of too much for me, and my stress was coming from a very difficult relationship at work, and I realized that I didn't see something clearly because I was stressed about it even when I didn't see that person. So it was there day and night, and it just happened one day. It was a process, of course. But I realized that I can't take this anymore. This is not really good for my health. I'm not going to get sleep anymore. And And the situation, I mean, that had been going for some time. And then I just realized that, no, I know I have to do something else in life. I don't know what that is because my head was so full of thinking. And I decided to quit my job. And, well, I didn't know what to do at that stage because I knew that if I just, you know, go from another, I mean, to another HR role, that would probably be the same, that it's running, yeah, running in the hamster wheel again.
Yes.
And then it took kind of, when I jumped off, it took like 3 months, I think, when I get quite clear on that I want to become an entrepreneur. But I didn't know what I would do on my business, but it was kind of like, okay, light went on, that's something I want to do, that I'm doing for myself. And then actually it happened that I attended a seminar which was around the mind principles and how the mind operates. And that was kind of the turning point because I realized during that weekend that this is it. That's all the answers that I've been searching for. And it was kind of like the feeling of coming home. When you can get that feeling, you know, with some persons that, okay, you've known this person forever or always. Yeah. And I got that same feeling when I was hearing about them, kind of like, okay, I've known this all along, but I've just forgotten that this is the truth about life. It sounds kind of a bold statement to say out loud, but that was the thing. It kind of, everything started to make sense. Everything around, I had done my spiritual searching as well and started to become very curious about that aspect. And those principles kind of explained everything, also that spiritual aspect of life. And the more I started to see and the more I started to learn about these principles behind the mind, the deeper kind of inner peace I started to gain. And it was very clear to me that this is kind of the cure for this stress epidemic that we have ongoing. And not only the stress epidemic, because when your mind kind of slows down, of course, that then brings you creativity and overall well-being. So it has effects all over. But yeah, in short, that was the kind of the process that took place, and then the turning point when I found these kind of mind principles that really were a surprise to me and didn't know that they existed, of course, before that. But yeah, then I was like, oh, everybody should know about this. So from that moment on, I've been just focusing on how to, you know, become or how to build my business and how to really bring this understanding to the world. So that's kind of the story, backstory.
So that just sounds as though it's very opportune that you stumbled across this seminar after you'd quit your job first. Is that right?
Yes.
And then you just,
yes,
took 3 months to think, right, I know I want to be an entrepreneur, but I have no idea what I want to do or how I'm going to achieve that.
Yes, yes. But you
that's
know
a
how
brave
I
decision.
Work. Yes, yes, I know. But yeah, it's kind of funny because I do know I have always have this kind of technique that when I don't know something, because at that point of time when I didn't know what to do next in life, I just asked her, please bring me that what I should do. So that was kind of, it fell into my lap and I was like, okay, not bad.
There's a lot of people out there which will have listened or read or seen The Law of Attraction, or is it, no, The Secret. Mm. And I guess that sort of follows upon that same principle, is the fact that you put it out there. You're not quite sure what it is, but you put the intention out there and miraculously it's stumbled upon you and it's changed your life, well, apparently very much for the better, which is wonderful to hear. So when you were saying you did this seminar, what did the seminar teach you? Can you remember the sort of principles that you learned?
Well, basically because the principles, there are really very simple principles behind of all it. Yeah. And of course, yes, I remember because the principles are constant and those are the same ones that I teach in my own coaching as well. But I think it's kind of more like, when people ask that, okay, what are these principles, what you are talking about, I'm tempted to say that it's actually not so much about what are the factual principles, but I like to talk about the implications they have and how they show up in life, because mm-hmm. that's kind of more relevant to see, or more relevant to, you know, experience. But it's, yeah, it's how we want to do it. Do you wish for me to go through them, or
entirely up to you, VLP. I mean, what I think, you know, from our listeners' point of view, it'd be really interesting for them to learn how to possibly apply the principles that you teach in your course. Because, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, stress is one of those things that it just makes your brain so foggy, and it makes you see really unclearly, and you don't know what it is that you want, but you just know how desperately out of sorts that you feel when you're constantly under stress. Yeah. And like you said, it was with a relationship at work, but it had so many other impacts on other areas of your life. And I think when you're in that position, it's very, very difficult to see clearly and to think clearly. And, you know, often we're sleep deprived, and often we don't eat the right food because we're stressed. Yeah. And so we're not eating nutritious, healthy food. And it's almost like you get sucked into this vortex of negativity, and all of a sudden you find yourself overweight. You know, you're not sleeping well. You're probably starting to do dysfunctional behaviors because it distracts you from the stress. And ultimately, it's just a matter of dealing with that one issue, which was the first foundation issue, which started to cause the stress in the first place. So, you know, if you could perhaps explain to us how you lifted yourself out of that stressful situation that you were experiencing, and then how, you know, if you could sort of explain to us how you managed to do that, and how we could, you know, adopt those principles in our own life, because it really was all does boil down to mindset, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all about that. Well, let's say it's easier and the most simple thing that I'll just explain briefly, like the main points, and then we call the subject of stress, because it's kind of the favorite thing that I like to talk about. the first thing that really hit me when I was first hearing about this was the thing that we don't ever experience the world out there. It looks to us, our mind is built so that we really think that the outside world is causing our feelings. So whether it's the workload, whether it's, you know, the boss, whether it's our spouse, if they behave like, I mean, or do something, or let's say our circumstances are a bit of a, you know, not like we want it to be, it looks to us that those situations and persons are creating our feelings, but it doesn't ever happen like that. So it's not outside in world, so it's not stimulus that we respond, but on the contrary, it's inside out. So we think, and a thought creates a feeling. So it's a huge, huge paradigm shift in how we really respond to life when we start to see that it's our thinking that creates the feeling. So the whole human experience is only formed by our thinking, nothing else. And when I heard about that, I was like, okay, yes, I kind of get it, because I can see it in some situations. I mean, you can easily see that if you have a memory and you kind of start to think about that, if you have some, let's say, some tragic memory, for instance, and you start to think about that situation again, you get the same feeling. Uh-huh. But it's not so easy to see when it takes place, you know, regarding the future, for instance. So we don't really see it. We think we understand that, yes, if I think about negative thoughts, of course I feel bad. But when there is this living person, you know, in front of us, we really think that it's a person that is causing us to feel bad or good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's both ways. So it's a huge thing to really see that, because intellectually you can kind of grasp it that, okay, it's never anything outside of me that is causing me anything. It's me. It's always me. It's my thinking. And thinking also varies, because, you know, your thinking can be someday you are in a low state of mind and the other day you are in a higher state of mind. And actually your experience of the same circumstances is different based on your, you know, state of mind.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, it's only thing that is kind of permanent is the thing that that you are thinking, and what you think is how you feel. So it's kind of a, when you really, really deeply see that, it will be a turning point. I can guarantee you it. So it was the first one that I saw. And of course, I mean, when the time goes by, you get to see it more and more because you start to get these insights in different situations that, oh my God, in this situation as well, mm-hmm. it's me doing it for me.
Yes.
And it has a huge impact on stress levels as well, because stress is only, it's thinking that is future-based, because we are so good at building, you know, scenarios of what could happen, and oh my God, I have all this stuff I need to do and I don't have time to do it, and oh my God, I'm gonna fail. And we all have different kind of thinking around, you know, we take pressure on things and we want to perform well, and we just build up this this blurred thinking in our heads about everything that is there that, you know, has to be taken care of. So it's really thinking that is based on the future that we cannot know anything about. So really, it's just so we are so used to it, thinking that stress goes with the picture, that if you have a certain kind of job, for instance, that of course you are feeling stressed. But we don't take that into account, that actually stress is something that we add into the situation that really is there. So
yes.
It can really be that you are overloaded with too much work. That can be a fact. So really, there can be too much work for that time that you are, you know, you have or I mean, that's possible, and that happens as well. But there is a difference between this kind of, you know, overload and
yes.
overwhelm, because overwhelm is the thing we add to it. And we can function very nicely without that overwhelm if we just realize that it's all caused by our own thinking. And if we can see that, I mean, with clarity, that this is something I'm adding, that actually makes that clarity in your head and that more, you know, calmness in your head makes you or puts and gives you more actually resources to solve those issues you have at hand. Because you mentioned that really stress is kind of, it's a spiral that everything starts to, you know, look
yes.
more negative, and you actually lose all your creative thinking the more you are stressed. And it's really a vicious cycle when you get there, because, you know, the opportunities just, they go, you know, you just limit yourself in that situation. So brain research is actually one thing I love to also study, because it shows so nicely what, you know, stress does and how our cognition you really suffers from that. But it's kind of the thing that the more you start to see what you are adding up to, what really is in here,
mm-hmm.
the more you have access to this unlimited source of ideas and how to solve situations, and, you know, maybe even ask for help, because we are sometimes very, very stubborn to ask for help if we have, you know, too much work, let's say.
Yes.
Because we try to cope with it. And actually, if you would see the situation clearly without all that overwhelm, you might probably even say that, oh, I can't handle this all. I should probably do something. I will delegate. I will say, well, depending where you are working, I could say to my boss that I don't have enough time to do this. So basically, there are always solutions, but the solutions, they seem to disappear when we are under, you know, this kind of very heavy thinking about it.
Yeah, and also going back to your point just then, you know, saying that you've got too much work to do and there's no way that you can accomplish what you need to do in the time that you've been allocated to do it. And,
yeah.
you know, a lot of people would then in their minds think, yes, but if I ask my boss, he's going to say I'm not working hard enough, or, I mean, he might not be a very good boss, in which
yeah.
case he might say that to you. But,
yeah.
you know, if he is a good boss, then I think communication is just such an important thread that joins us all together.
Yeah.
And because we in our mind think, oh, the worst possible scenario, so that our boss isn't going to like the fact that we say to them
yeah.
we cannot achieve all this work in that timeline,
exactly
time frame. But that's,
yeah.
again, that's us, we're building that scenario in our head. And actually it's I think it's very challenging for some people when they realise that you can't change. If you don't like how somebody behaves, really, you can't do an awful lot about it. You know, all you can do is change how you see that individual and accept them as they are, within limits, of course. But there are certain things in life, again, which no matter how much we resist, there's absolutely no way we can change that situation. But what we can change is how we allow ourselves to react and behave in that situation. I wish I could remember, there's a quote, well, actually there's several quotes, and I bring him up all the time, but Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning, have you read that book?
No, I don't think so.
Absolutely fascinating, but he was in one of the prisoner of war camps in Germany, and actually lost his wife and daughter.
I've heard about that.
He didn't actually know that he'd lost them until after he was released. But the one thing that he decided to do while he was in there was to not allow those the prison officers, or whatever they were called, to control how he thought. And he said it was the one last freedom that he had was to allow himself to not be affected by. Those people, you know, they could hurt him, they could beat him, they could starve him, they could let him lie on a cold and dirty floor, but he wasn't going to give them the power to take over his mind. And that's what kept him strong. And after he came out of the prisoner of war camp, he then wrote Man's Search for Meaning. But the book is really transformational. When you read that, you think, my goodness, if he can get through that and the tragedy that went with his experience, as well as his own, the brutality that was put onto him, you know, you think, crikey, and we're worried about what skirt we're going to wear, or whether we've got a couple of extra pounds around our middle, or, you know, what we're going to do, what we're going to say to our boss when we don't want to do the next job. And it does put it all into perspective. But I think also for everyday living I 100% understand what you're saying, and I agree with you also 100%. I think it takes practice for people to actually achieve that, though, for them to realise, especially when the red mist descends, or you're tired and you're run down, and then somebody, really lights your rag up. Then it's difficult to think, actually, hang on, this is down to me. This is how I perceive the situation, and I can control how I let this affect me. That can be quite challenging for some people.
Yeah. And actually, it because we are built like that we kind of see the life, opposite that how it actually works. It's natural that we go to those situations, and yes, we don't see it. But what I've realized is that the more you kind of start to see and you get insights in certain situations, the quicker you kind of see your own reaction and how actually it was again just generated by you. So it's kind of like you just slightly quicker and quicker every time see it. Kind of you start to observe yourself so much more. So it's kind of like the whole perspective changes, because first you are so attached to your own thinking and you think that, okay, my reality is what it is and I'm just giving this environment where I'm in. And then you just realize suddenly that, oh my goodness, I can actually observe what is going on in my mind.
Yes.
And then the detachment is the key, really, for this inner peace, because you start to see that, well, Eckhart Tolle is one of my favorite authors
The Power of Now,
and I remember when I read it for the first time, that what really stopped me was when he said that if you are the thinker and then you can observe your thinking, which one are you? And I was like, oh my goodness, oh my god, can this really be that I'm something more than just this, you know, this thinking creature that is here in this physical form? And kind of then when I found these principles, it came so clear, because they explain that line like very logically what also Tolle is speaking about. And they just kind of add some more to it, that it made me realize that, oh, okay, now kind of I now see very clearly what he was talking about.
Yes.
But it takes some time to really, I mean, it's a continuing process. First you see something, and then you just someday you get another insight, and it just, you know, continues. But it's kind of like the level of consciousness rises the more you see that it's kind of your thinking, and your freedom of mind actually comes from knowing that you can create pretty much everything. So, you know, you can be in prison, or you can be in a luxus yacht somewhere, and you can be pretty miserable, or you can be happy in any circumstance. You know, it doesn't matter, because your experience is coming from your thinking and not from the, you know, environment where you are in. So it's
it's really freeing. And it's when really... when you take on a client, or so, you know, for instance, the course that you're offering, your international course, what is that called, VIP?
Yeah, the name for the course is Mind Uncovered. So it's a journey to really to see the mind and how it works. Yeah.
So, can you explain a bit about that course? Because that's you know, that's probably going to cover a lot of the questions that I would ask you anyway, as to how you sort of translate your knowledge to people that haven't yet learned those various aspects.
Well, basically, the course. It starts by covering what are the principles. So I pretty much so far only touched the first principle, which is the principle of thought, which is the biggest one, which we always start with, because it's kind of the, I would say, probably the easiest one to grab, because everybody kind of can relate to that, because they really quickly can start to see that, oh my God, really? Yes. I have this thought, and then the feeling follows, yes. And then we go through the other two ones, and then we took this kind of, well, I actually cover some brain research as well, because I'm a very logical mind, so I like to also to take some science to back up what, you know, I mean, mind is such an abstract thing that when we can show that we have these physical limitations, that also, you know, our brain is really, you know, biased, and it really is fooling us, because we have this biological thing going on, and we are, you know, sensing threat more easily. So that's the reason why we see negative things so much more than positive things and stuff like that. And also I like to cover, you know, subconscious, because subconscious is such a really, really interesting thing. So we go through a bit of that science part as well, but then we start to go deeper to the stress, of course, and how the stress really works and how it's created, because, you know, it's not coming from where you think it's coming from. And we cover things like relationships and communication and conflicts also, because that's a big area, no matter if it's at work or if it's at home. And then we also cover many other areas. We kind of go to the creativity part as well. Where does creativity come from? Because, you know, when you start to see that, it's really also a game changer. And we go just kind of a very... actually, the detailed program is on my website if someone wants to go and take a look. But there are kind of a very many implications, and I've picked up the most, let's say, most common ones where people tend to struggle. I mean, a big themes in life, and we just go them through. And of course, because at the moment my course is actually very much tailor-made, so we take it by the client and what is the biggest struggle they have at the moment. But it's kind of the core point is still that the stress is the big issue for this person. It's really, it's work-related mainly, because I love to work with, you know, these kind of high-achieving individuals and entrepreneurs, because, I mean, they put so much effort to the world, and I really want these people to shine and thrive and not really struggle with that all that heavy thinking. But yeah, so it's kind of a journey. I try to take people to a journey that kind of took me to the place I am at the moment, and trying to back it up with very logical, rational, and practical things, because although I'm spiritual, I would say that I'm quite spiritual nowadays. I wasn't, you know, a few years back. I really opened up for it quite late, but I still want to keep it like a I sometimes say that I'm like between two worlds, because I have this very logical part of me and yes. then I have this spiritual part of me, and I kind of like to be the bridge between. So no matter how you know, if you are not so much into the spiritual side yet, for instance, it doesn't matter, because I try to do it as you know, easy as possible to understand that side as well. So, but if you are further on the spiritual road, then we will take just another angle and we'll go slightly deeper in that aspect. So in a way, it's nice, because transformative coaching, it always takes into account the person and the situation, and it's fresh. So it's, you never know actually what is the best thing that will come up, because, well, that's the inner wisdom of that person that really wants to come and play with us. So.
Yeah. I suppose the fact that, you know, you've started to develop your spirituality, like you say, some people it will appeal to and other people it won't, but the fact that you have that openness, so, you know, you can deal with each individual for their own unique needs. And is it one-on-one yes. coaching, Virpi?
Yes, at the moment it's one-on-one coaching, and I'm planning on actually developing a group program now during this year still. So I will want to, because I want to serve as many people as possible. So I kind of, and I know the, you know, the power of a group, because I've studied this subject in a group, and it seems to be where the magic takes place. So yes. so really, because you can learn so much from other people's insights, and yeah, there's just something that really accelerates the learning of other people as well. So that's something to come later this year. But at the moment, it's one-on-one coaching.
I yes. think they both have their merits. I think one-on-one is fantastic, because you address the absolute unique idiosyncrasies of the individual yes. that you're talking to. And then, you know, it might be that you start with the one-on-one and then progress to the group coaching, because the group then, you know, you could sometimes somebody will ask a question that you didn't even think of asking, but yeah. until they've asked it, you think, oh my goodness, that's so relevant and it's so important
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
And also you get the energy of you know, the accountability of a group situation. I love group coaching. I think it's it really is. It's a lovely addition to one-on-one coaching. I don't think I wouldn't put one above the other, but I think they both go yeah. hand in hand very, very well together. Can yeah, I just go I back? Actually. You mentioned the yeah. the three principles that you yeah. cover. You mentioned the first one is the principle of thought. What was number yeah. two and three?
Yes. So number two is the principle of consciousness.
Ah.
And by consciousness, I mean the thing that, well, it actually has two levels. It has the personal level, which is actually our senses and our body, which reacts to our thinking. So kind of this illusion of life and how the reality works, it's so much backed up by our senses that actually makes it more real, that, you know, the world out there is causing us emotions. Because, you know, if you got scared, you see a snake on the ground. And you got scared, then of course you think it's the snake that gets you scared, because, you know, your body is reacting, your heart starts to beat more fast, and you get this, you know, panic, unless you love snakes, of course. But
yeah.
but in a way, it's kind of like someone says that it's kind of this special effects department that we have in ourselves, that whatever we think, it goes straight to our senses and we can feel it. So it's so fast that we really think it's coming from the outside world again. So kind of course it looks like to us that, okay, well, feelings are coming from there, because, you know, our body says it as well.
Yes.
So it's really, really tricky, because it's kind of this invisible process, but you just can't see it. And then I would say that, of course, this is the personal consciousness mm-hmm. and senses, I mean, bring that thinking to light. And then we have the universal consciousness, which, of course, is the more spiritual thing, and which is the thing that Eckhart Tolle is talking about, that we really can observe our thinking. So that's the universal consciousness, observing what's going on. So that is really the more in-depth, you know, definition of the consciousness. But really, it really makes sense wherever I'm talking with a person and saying that, you really, have you ever realized that you can observe your thinking and have you really, really considered what that means. So it's really, even if the person has not ever even, you know, had any interest in spirituality or anything like that, they usually are like, oh my God, I'm getting chills. I've had that response so many times when I've been speaking. I'm like, yes, well, there might be something to that.
That's fantastic, because it shows that whatever you're teaching them is really hitting home as well.
Yeah.
And it's their understanding. It's so revealing, I think, things like that. It's you know, I think because we live our lives in the way we live our lives, we don't give ourselves time to consider and observe and think. And if you think about it, actually, it's quite natural that, of course, we control our thinking. But a lot of people, we just, until you're introduced to that idea, and I was exactly the same, you know, until I did all my psychotherapeutic training, I hadn't really considered that. And thank goodness I did, because I'd just be this really weird woman running around the planet at a million miles an hour. Now I do observe and I do realise. I have to say, there are times if I'm really tired, it's more difficult to say, no, this is on my shoulders, and you know, if you're stressed and then something goes wrong, you still have that tendency to want to blame somebody else, because it takes, you know, you disempower yourself as soon as you start blaming somebody else. And when you then realise, no, this is down to me, and I'm not meeting my needs correctly, and you know, it makes you so much of a better person when you start to understand that process.
Yeah, because you know, you start to take responsibility. That's the thing, because that was my life as well. I was blaming everything and everyone for my bad feelings until I realized that, oh my goodness, it's me. It has always been me, and I've always been reacting to my own thinking and not, you know, the other person or the situation. It has always been my own thinking. So isn't that funny? You know, like a human being, it thinks and then it feels, and then we blame that feeling is coming from somewhere else, and then we act to it. So we just react to our own thinking all the time. So there's nothing else than the psychological system we live in, and that's all.
I know. Do you know what? The one thing I still find frustrating, and some of my clients do as well, is the fact that you as an individual understand that it's your thought processes that are creating the stress or the unexpected wants that you have. You know, you're not being satisfied in that moment because the other person isn't addressing your needs as you want them to address your needs, for instance, in that one particular occasion. But because they don't understand that yet, and they probably aren't ever going to understand that, because they might not want to take their mindset to that level of understanding. Mm. We're still then surrounded by people in the world that do not have that understanding. And I think that, you know, that can be equally frustrating for people. Have you read the book Out of Interest by, I think it's Katie Byron? I think it's called What Is? It's a book that's written about exactly what you're saying.
Yes, I know. Byron Katie's work is very similar.
Do you know what? Even though I completely agree with what you're saying, I got halfway through her book and I had to put it down, because it was just, you know, it's accepting other people's behaviour and accepting that they don't want to take responsibility for their life, and accepting that is what is. You know, you can't change that. If they want to live their life in that way, that's entirely up to them. But it's still frustrating that, you know, you can be talking to somebody and you're understanding that the whole mindset approach, but they don't, and they don't see it.
Yeah.
And that can be so frustrating sometimes too.
Yeah, I know what you are talking about. What you know, what I've realized is that because I've at the beginning I was like, I want to teach everybody so that everybody understands and I have an easier life. And then I realized that no, it doesn't happen like that, because you know, we are at different stages, and some are ready to hear and some are not. And I did a very, you know, clear decision that I'm not gonna share this with my family or my friends unless they invite me to. So unless they say that, hey, tell me more. And I know it can feel frustrating, but what I've learned is that actually when you are just you and you stop reacting like you used to react.
Yes.
That changes relationships because you have changed. Yeah. And the other person will see something new. And it's kind of, it's in a way strange, but yeah, you know, they say that, well, the change comes or begins from you. It cannot, you know, you cannot change everybody or anybody else. But it's kind of true that there is something that when you change, of course your thinking changes, but and then it seems like the, you know, the environment changes as well.
I agree with you.
But it's because, yeah, it's because your thinking has changed and the frustration has always kind of it's less and less all the time.
Yes.
Because you see the innocence in those people, and then you can just, you know, hope that maybe someday they get interested because they see what I mean, how you feel.
Yes.
But yeah, but I know it's sometimes like, oh, because I want to help everybody and I want to get them in understand this, and yeah, but I think that's one of the reasons why I like group trainings, because then you kind of have the community of people that
yes.
kind of see it the same way. And it's much more easier to live when you know that when you have something, you know that, okay, there's the group that understands me.
Yes.
And it's fine that everybody doesn't. So it's kind of like, okay, well, I have this bunch of people that get me in this, and that's okay for now. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that is really important, because also when you do change your mindset set, and if you're living with people or surrounded with people who haven't and aren't willing to, then it sometimes you're faced with that situation where you actually change your life and you sever ties with people that you may not have severed ties with before, and
yeah.
and also family members, you know, and it can. I think it can cause a lot of upheaval, but upheaval
yes.
for the right reasons. And,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's not always an easy path for people, but I think when they're in that group environment,
yeah.
they get that support from like-minded people. And what is it?
Yeah.
Is it the five or six people we spend the most amount of time with are reflective of who we are? So,
yes.
you know, it makes sense if you're hanging out with people that are trying to improve their mindset and improve their lives and their understanding of how their thoughts affect their behavior, then that's going to rub off on you, and you're going to rub off on them as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly like
and
it
so
is.
What was your third principle?
Yes,
Lizzie?
The third one, but actually quickly before that,
yeah.
I want to add something, because I heard you saying something earlier about controlling your thinking. I heard the same word control, which
yes.
I was honest. No, I have to tackle this, because what I've
learned, <Please do. laughs>
what I've learned during these couple of years now is that you cannot control your own thinking. That's kind of also an illusion that we think that we can somehow influence our thinking, but actually you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You really cannot know what comes to your mind in 2 minutes. So that's also something that, you know, positive thinking, I love the idea, for instance, that, okay, now concentrate and blah, 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 blah. I mean, just think positive, but you really can't. It's really exhausting, because if you have a crappy day, if somebody says to you, think positive, it's not going to be very successful, and it just
yes.
gets you irritated. So, I mean, you think what you think. It's ebb and flow, and we don't have really control over it, what will come to our mind. But the only thing we can really influence is that whether or not we want to, you know, give energy to some kind of thinking. So that's
yeah.
really the thing that we can choose if we give energy to some thoughts or not. And that's the thing. If we have negative thinking and we just keep on, you know, hanging around with those negative thoughts, they will just keep on, you know, building. But if we can just, okay, we'll see that, okay, now I don't have a very good feeling because I'm thinking something which is not really healthy for me. The minute you realize that you are thinking, you know, and doing that for yourself again, you actually come to the present moment. That's kind
yes.
of how the mind does. It resets itself when you realize what you are doing.
Yeah, no, I agree that
yes.
actually. Yes, I understand
yes.
exactly why
yeah.
you brought that up. Yeah,
yeah.
No, that's
yeah.
a good point.
Yeah,
it's,
but that's again the power of now again comes through here, because, you know, the minute we see it, we observe ourselves again, then we are again here. Yeah.
It is. It's more observing rather than controlling, because like you say, the thought's already there. It's just you're observing what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but let's move on to the third principle. And that's the more spiritual side of it. So the first principle is the principle of mind. And when we talk about mind in this, we actually talk about the universal mind. And what is actually meant by it is this universal energy or every science already says that there is this energy field or quantum field or the space that everything comes from and goes to. So basically the intelligence behind life. And for me, that was a really eye-opener when I realized that, of course, because I can see that in nature everywhere. You can see that there's pretty much everything is very, very smartly built up. And you just have to look at the human body. How is this possible?
I know. That we are built like this? Isn't it?
Yes. So there has to be this intelligence that is really taking care of things. And we are part of that intelligence, of course, as any flower or as any animal is part of it. So kind of when you start to see that there is something more intelligent in action than just your own personal thinking and your own personal body, and that is kind of expressing itself. Expressing itself through me. So that is also that was also a liberating moment for me when I realized that I don't have to be actually in control all the time, because there is something else. I kind of get the messages through my intuition. So that's kind of when we talk about the inner wisdom or intuition, it's obviously the intelligence that tries to speak to us. That's very, nowadays I can see it so clearly, but when your head is full of, the personal thinking, you can't really hear it. So that's the thing why the clarity is so, so important, because that really brings you the solutions that you need, because that's built in.
The universal energy, do you include with that sort of thing the fact that, if your thoughts are positive, they operate on a higher vibrational level, whereas a negative thought tends to operate on a lower vibrational level, and the laws of physics are that like attracts like. Do you go into that sort of thing with it?
Well, I don't actually go to that. I'm more of staying like in the fact that everything, let's say everything that we think is coming from the same source. So whether it's negative or positive, whether it's whatever comes up, it's totally okay. And it's part of life. Mm-hmm. And it's there because, there is this, intelligence that just wants them to come through me. I don't have to understand it all, but I can see them for what they are. So I don't have to react, because of course, if you have bad thoughts and you have bad feelings, sometimes people tend to do bad things. And that's there's the difference when you start to understand that my thinking doesn't say anything about the situation I'm in. It's just, ebb and flow. We don't know the logic. There is no logic. I mean, sometimes you just think of, oh my God, where that thought come from. So it's more like that you just see the how it operates. So not to go to so much, if it's low vibration or if it's higher vibration. Yeah, of course, that's also kind of like, because everything is vibration. And we know that, like attracts like, yes, I've also seen that. But I don't go into that so much details, because I really like to keep it in a very basic logic of how they work, because there's I can guarantee you there's a lot to take in just seeing the whole logic and those all three operating together, because the whole human experience is coming from those. And then the content, the content which every person is thinking and those kind of things are not really so much in focus, because I think that has been very much what has been missing until now, because we have been concentrating so much on the personal thinking and how to fix that personal thinking of a person if they feel bad, and really understanding how the mind operates, just the operating system and how the logic goes. It's much more beneficial, I have seen, because it kind of takes you to this higher level. I sometimes say that we tend to be in this ground floor, and then if I can just take my clients to the first floor in an elevator, you know, the perspective is already different.
Yeah.
So the problems that seem to be problems are not anymore there, because you see that, oh my goodness, I'm actually something else than those problems.
No, it makes so much sense, Firpi. Do you know what? Yeah. With this interview, we've only got like 3.5 minutes left, and it's just gone by in a flash. I wish we had longer to talk about this. So we've got about 3 minutes or a couple of minutes remaining. Just a question that I do like to ask a lot of my people, and we will go over how people can connect with you in just a few moments. What advice would your 80-year-old self give your current self now if she could do?
80. Oh, she would say that patience, darling.
Oh, I like it.
Yes. That's still something I'm working on. Yes.
I have
full trust in life, but patience is still something that I'm really
That is fantastic. I love it. So just let us know, how do people connect with you, Virpi? Because I'm sure that course is going to be, there's so much detail in it, and I would encourage people to go to your website to have a look at it further. Obviously, all links for this interview I will include on the Facebook page and the promotional material that I send out. But how would you recommend that people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I would say that simply the best way would be just to go into my website. So the name is slightly difficult, because it's not an English name, but virpikaleva.com is my web address. And you know, all my social media profiles are also there if you want to follow me, and also connect in Facebook, of course.
Okay.
So check out Kate's website as well, and Facebook profile, so you will have the links there.
Yes, they will. So your surname, you say it Kalevo, do you?
Kalevo, yes. Yes.
Ah, Kalevo. I said Kalevo. So stupid.
Fine.
When I said it, I thought, I bet I've said that wrong. I knew I'd got the first bit right.
Yes. But that was a good one, because normally it's Virpi. I hear so much Virpi, but it's fine.
Oh, is it Virpi?
It's Virpi, yes.
Yeah, Virpi. I think it's very pretty. So, well, thank you, Virpi, for talking us today. It's just been fascinating. I wish we'd had longer. I can't believe how fast the hour has gone. But I'll put all the links to the show will be posted on the Flourish Therapy Facebook page and the Coach on Fire radio page, and also my website. To our listeners, thank you all so much for being here. This was episode 16 of the Flourish and Thrive radio show with me, Kate Hartley of flourishtherapy.co.uk, and Virpi Kalevo was my inspiring guest. And you can find more about Virpi at, I'll spell it, VirpiKalevo.com. And Virpi, we've not really had a chance to play your music because you were so fascinating. But I'm going to end on it. So we are going to lead out with it. So it's Michael Cimbello, Maniac, from the film Flashdance, which I just love. I'm so pleased you chose this because it's so energetic. And again, thank you so much for your time, Virpi. And to our listeners,
we'll catch
you again soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Virpi.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.